Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life challenges with you and then bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad that you've turned your dial to CFRA and to listen to this program. And I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can hear past episodes and find interesting articles. This morning's program is sponsored by Douglas Crawford. Thank you so much for your generous and faithful support, Mr. Crawford. Your partnership with us is really appreciated. This morning, I want to talk to you about living as citizens of heaven. You know, I've noticed that I have not heard all that much preaching on heaven, except, of course, when I go to funerals. I've noticed that the few times I have preached on heaven, that I've had to work really hard to get people to care. And that's especially true for younger people. I've noticed that when I'm speaking to a younger person, they don't seem to care all that much about heaven. When I'm speaking to a 20-something, heaven is almost seen as irrelevant information. Now, on the other hand, if I am speaking to a senior who is on death's door, it is the most relevant topic there is. And I suppose that's understandable. You know, I'm not really interested in reading a travel guide to Peru until I'm ready to travel to Peru. But when a trip to Peru is imminent, I'm very interested in reading the travel guide. And it makes sense that the closer one feels like they're getting to the door of heaven, the more interested one is in what is there. But I should remind you that we do not know how close the door of heaven is. Every so often, that point comes home when people we know meet untimely death. The reality is, however, that while we know that's theoretically true, that any of us could die at any time, most of us don't really believe that it will likely happen to us. So taking an interest in heaven is kind of like me taking an interest in Italy. You know, I would really like to travel there. And yes, it's theoretically possible that somebody could buy me a plane ticket to Italy this coming year, but it's really unlikely. And so I'm not rushing out to buy a traveler's guide to Italy. So when a passage of scripture like the one we're going to look at this morning throws us this pitch about heaven, well, a lot of you think, I'm going to swing, and that's a swing in the irrelevant zone, right? Well, and besides that, there's the country song that says, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to go now. And that's true enough. We want to go to heaven, but, you know, sometimes I think the reason that many of us want to go to heaven is that it's just better than the alternative. And because the way we think about heaven, the way some people think about heaven is that heaven's going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. You know, I have little interest in sitting on a cloud playing a harp. And of course, that's not a true image of heaven. The way some Christians talk about heaven is that it's going to be one long worship service. We're going to be around the throne of God, worshiping God. Now, don't get me wrong. I like church. I'm a pastor. But I don't want to live in one endless church service. Do you? I like church, but I don't want to live there. You know, C.S. Lewis says that you can hope for what you desire. In other words, if you don't desire something, you're not going to look forward to it and hope for it. If our concept of heaven is something that we really don't desire, we're not really going to look forward to it. We're not going to hope for it. You see, one long worship service is not in any of our core desires. Things like joy and love and laughter and beauty, intimacy and adventure, discovery, accomplishment, those are the things that is in many of our core desires. The reality is that those are the things that heaven will be about. Let me ask you a question. What do you conceive the next life to be? Is it going to be kind of like a wisp of this reality where we are disembodied spirits kind of floating around? What kind of reality do you think we will exist in? You know, Jesus, after his resurrection, had a resurrected body, but it's kind of like the body that we're going to have. But that body, with that body, he ate, he spoke, he cooked on a beach, did the most real, most ordinary, most extraordinary things. So let me challenge you with this question. What are the first three things that you want to do when you get to heaven? While you're thinking about that, we're going to listen to the song called I Can Only Imagine.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
What are the first three things that you want to do when you get to heaven? I think the first three things I would like to do, the first one is I want to run to Jesus, give him a big hug, celebrate his grace and mercy, celebrate the fact that he is renewing all things and that he has renewed me. Next thing I do is I want to go to the feast. There's going to be the best food that you have ever ate in heaven. There'll be dancing and eating and drinking and storytelling and an incredible party in heaven. Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then I think I want to take some friends and go for a horseback ride in the mountains and explore the countryside of heaven. And yes, there will be horses in heaven. You know, what a grand way to start an adventure in heaven. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what it's all going to be like, but I know that our deepest desires for joy and love and laughter, for beauty and intimacy and adventure will be satisfied. Heaven will be a place where all the symbols of fear will be gone. We won't need locks on our doors or masks on our true identities. There won't be any talk about being authentic because that will be the only way to be. Things like hiding and shame and the things that hold us back from being all that we were meant to be will be no more. It is important that you get a sense of what the culture of heaven is going to be like. Because I've talked about heaven as if it were a place that when it is our time, we're going to go to. It's like when it is time, we're going to go to and emigrate there. And when we feel we're getting closer, we tend to want to know more about it. And while that view is not completely wrong, it's not completely accurate either. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Heaven is not only where we're going. Heaven is, in fact, our home and native land. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Peter says that in reality, this world is where you are a stranger. Although you might be a Canadian, you are really a foreigner here. Your citizenship is in heaven. So imagine that we are going to emigrate to heaven isn't quite right. The reality is that there were expatriates here. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of traveling to a foreign country. I've had the opportunity to do that a number of times. You can be quite comfortable in that country. But when you're there, oftentimes when you're in conversation with the natives of that country, Canada comes up in your conversation. It comes up in your thinking. And if you hear that there's another Canadian close by, well, you try to connect. And if you hear another Canadian close by, you kind of hope internally that they're living in such a way that they're doing their country proud. When you realize you are a citizen of heaven, spiritual things come up in conversation. You connect with those who are also citizens, and you hope that they're doing their country proud. With this in the background, I want you to get ready for today's verse. It's from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I'm going to read from the New International Version first. It says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel." New Living Translation puts it this way: "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come to see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." The New International Version is a minimalist translation. It translates the verse, "conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel." The New Living Translation is an expansive translation, and it expresses this verse, "you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news." Remember, we believe that Scripture is inspired by God. It's not inspired in a word-for-word dictation form. If that were the case, then we'd all have to learn Greek and Hebrew to read the inspired Word of God. It is the truth behind the words that is inspired. That is why it's helpful to read a couple of different translations so that you're getting the nuances of the truth that the passage is trying to express. I believe in this verse that the New Living Translation helps us out best. You must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Maybe it was just me, but when I was growing up, I found this verse, which I first read in the King James and then in the NIV, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, as a rather heavy verse. I heard this verse saying, be good, be truthful, be holy, be right. And it was always had a very somber overtone for me. Jesus gave his life for you. Live in a way that you're worthy of that sacrifice. I heard this verse saying, live up to expectations. People who live like this were serious people. People who live like this took everything seriously. In some ways, it was a very guilt-inducing verse. How can I ever live in a manner worthy of the gospel? Is that how you've read it? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have read it that way. That was just the way I read. And it seemed like the gospel, which the word gospel means good news, it seemed like the good news wasn't very happy news. So what does it mean to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, the good news? Well, the gospel, as you know, is that none of us can be good enough or righteous enough or holy enough to earn God's favor. The good news is that it is not my own righteousness that saves me. It is the fact that Jesus gives me his righteousness and takes away my sin. I'm not saved because I deserve it. We are saved because God loves us and Jesus gave himself up for us. That is the gospel. But the way I was reading this verse was, live in such a way to show that you deserve the gospel that says you don't deserve what you got. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to try to deserve something you don't deserve. That is why I spent a lot of time talking about heaven today. As citizens of heaven, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Our citizenship is in heaven. We come from a country, we are citizens of a country that speaks into our core desires for joy and love and laughter and beauty and intimacy and adventure. Heaven is a place where there is celebration. It's a place where we walk in freedom with God, where he knows us and we know him. It is a place where we give and receive love freely. It is a place where intimacy is valued. It is a place where beauty is esteemed. It is a place for adventure, a place for creativity, a place for curiosity. It's a place where God permeates all of those things. That, my friend, is your home and native land. So when Paul says, as citizens of heaven, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news, he's saying, conduct yourself in a manner that's congruent with the culture of heaven. Conduct yourself in a manner that's in line with heaven. Are you more congruent with heaven when you have a sense of joy and well-being or when you're dour? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are you more congruent with heaven when we love and let ourselves be loved, or when we build walls around ourselves so that we keep each other out and don't let anyone in? You know, as a citizen of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are you more congruent with heaven when you revel in what is beautiful and good and true and right and lovely, or when we are fault-finding and negative? As a citizen of heaven, walk in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. Are you more congruent with heaven when we live lives of adventure or when we live lives of mediocrity? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are we more congruent with heaven when we are being creative or when we're being distracted? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Of course, it's also congruent with heaven to walk in purity and in justice and in mercy. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel is not about trying to deserve something that we don't deserve. It's about living out of our culture in a land where we are forgiven and a land where we're also foreigners and aliens. Don't know if you noticed, but we're not in heaven yet. There are so many things that come to steal our joy. There are so many things that try to stop us from loving. There are so many things that war against intimacy. There are so many things that mar beauty and promote ugliness. There are so many things that war against adventure and creativity. The call of the gospel is that we come from a different place, and the place where we come from has a culture that trumps the culture we live in. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Sometimes living out of the culture of heaven means that we'll have to stand together with those who are also living out of that culture. Sometimes it means fighting together to maintain a sense of joy and good and life. Sometimes living out of the culture of heaven and conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel is really hard. You know, I've had the privilege of visiting believers in Peru and visiting believers in Uganda and Ghana. And there's a couple of things that have struck out to me about Christians I met there. First of all, I was struck by how difficult their lives are. A lot of them work very, very hard with very long hours. They dealt with extremely difficult circumstances. Death was a very present reality in life. The other thing that struck me about these believers was how joyful they were. Because life was so difficult there, heaven was much more real to them. And because heaven was much more real to them, they adopted the culture of heaven much more readily, and it showed. What I'm calling you to do is live out of your culture. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. The Bible says that as followers of Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven, so live out of your culture. Choose joy. Fight the joy stealers. Choose love. Fight the love killers. Choose beauty and adventure and relational closeness, because this is what is in your heart by the grace of God. As you live in this world, conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the good news. Above all, live in such a way that the good news really looks like good news. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the gospel, the good news that you came and you died for us. Lord, I pray for those who have not yet become citizens of heaven. I pray that even this morning that they would say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I'm choosing to follow you. Lord, and you've promised when they would receive you that you would make them your children and you would make them citizens of heaven. So, Lord, I pray that as each person prays that prayer now, that you would just bless them, that you would put your spirit in them, that you would adopt them into your family. Lord, I ask that you would just bring the culture of heaven to bear on their lives right now. Thank you so much, Lord, for the gospel and what you've given to us. Thank you so much for who you are. Amen. Well, I'm so glad you've tuned in this morning. If Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in this work, so contact us by email or Twitter or via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And again, a special thank you to Douglas Crawford for sponsoring this program this morning. And thank you for listening. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help us financially, we would really appreciate it. You can make checks payable to Good News of Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And thanks for considering this. Now, may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May His Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with His deep and constant and abiding love. We're going to see this morning out by listening to Andy Park. May the Lord bless you.
Rising up in your lying down, may He be. God our Father, be with you now and forever. In your rising up, in your lying down, oh, may he be with you. May the blessing of Christ our Savior be with you now and forever. In your going out, in your coming in, may he be with you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he bless you.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.